It's time for the Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, and Christian, and it starts now.
Good afternoon, and welcome into the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Kevin Gleva and special guest Owen Pulley. And later joining us will be Christian Hernandez talking everything you need to know about soccer, so that will be later in the show. But we have a good show for you guys today. And the Colts last week, a big loss versus Tampa Bay. They had a big lead of points, and in all reality, they should have won that game. Ended up losing 38-31. We'll talk about that and more. Colts taking on the Texans and the possibility of the Colts making the playoffs. And in all reality, there's really no AFC team besides really the Texans and the Jaguars who couldn't possibly make the playoffs in the AFC. So we're going to talk about that and more. And how about the football team last night? They're now in the playoffs in the NFC. There's lots of crazy things going on. Teams that no one thought would be making the playoffs just a day ago. Now possibly in the playoff chase. And then going to the NBA, the Pacers lose 100-98 to the Timberwolves, and that was just disaster to say the least. So the Pacers, is it time to finally blow it up? Or do you really just hold on to it and try to see if you can salvage anything? And then soccer news, more, a little bit of IU basketball, Purdue basketball sprinkled in there as well. So we have lots of good stuff coming your way in the Sports Spotlight. Once again, I'm your host, Jackson White, alongside Kevin Gleva and Owen Pulley here. But going to the Buccaneers-Colts, the Colts go into this game 6-5. If they win this game, they're most likely going to make the playoffs.
Give them a good chance.
I mean, they have a good chance already. The Buccaneers, they're a team that was 7-3 going into this one. The Colts jump out to a margin, I mean, a good lead. The Colts at one time had a 24-14 lead at halftime. And then the Buccaneers score 14 in the third quarter. And the Colts have run rushing play in the third quarter. And then eventually the Colts end up losing by 7. Jonathan Taylor, 16 rushes, 83 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown coming in the fourth quarter. Carson Wentz, 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 INTs. And a guy who's not really thrown really any so far this year. He fumbled as well, even though it wasn't his fault. Eric Fisher decided not to block on that play. So he just kind of fell down. And he's the problem at left tackle, by the way. That's not it, to say the least. But Colts lose 38-31. Carson Wentz has a good game. I mean, they were marching first half. Carson Wentz, 3 touchdowns first half. T.Y. Hilton getting his first touchdown of the season. Put up that T.Y. in the end zone. Colts should have won this game, but they didn't. I mean, Kevin, what are your takeaways?
Yeah, and I mean, like you were saying, just a big thing. And I mean, in that third quarter, you know, they have a lead. And, you know, they keep throwing the ball. It's really, I thought they had success early throwing the ball. And Wentz, I mean, he looked good throwing the ball. And early on, Jonathan Taylor really was just getting stopped. I mean, the Buccaneers took away the run game early on. And, I mean, they are one of the best run defenses in the entire league, holding opponents to, like, 80 rush yards a game, which is really good. But, I mean, when it came to that second half, you want to stay aggressive because, I mean, a two-possession lead can go away, especially with 2 touchdowns from the other team and you lose the lead. So you want to stay aggressive, but you still kind of want to start thinking about maybe some clock management, maybe burning some more clock, giving your big-time running back some more touches, which, I mean, just didn't happen a lot. And, you know, a lot of people were angry about that, but I guess a lot of the plays were RPOs, run pass options, where Wentz just caught off the run and decided to throw the ball. I mean, and that's what the Bucs were giving them, and I guess they tried to take it.
Yeah, I agree with you there on the defensive part of the game with having one of the best run defenses in Tampa Bay, but I think they do need to run the ball more. We've seen it in the past when Wentz throws for 50 attempts that he struggles, and he threw for 44 here and he struggled. Sure, he did have 3 touchdowns, but he did have 2 interceptions. Granted, one of them was just a bad play in general, took that fumble that you're talking about with Eric Fisher, but I just think that the Colts need to show more aggression. And Jonathan Taylor had that great game a week ago against Buffalo, and I think the Colts need to show more aggression with Jonathan Taylor.
I mean, we just talked about, like, one of our last couple shows of Jonathan Taylor's been playing great, so they need to keep giving him the touches.
Right. I mean, he did get touches. He had 16.
I mean, 16.
But I just think that for the Colts to be efficient, he should be getting 20 touches a game.
Yeah.
And I've looked at the schedule, and I've looked at the games, and I think that the Colts should be a 10-2 team. Like, I was talking with some of my friends about it, and I was looking at this game. Like, we saw the Seahawks last night. Obviously, we'll get into them later, just playing terribly as of late. But I think the Colts should have won that game. They're playing with a brand-new quarterback who's hurt. And then the next game, the Rams, that was Wentz was battling the injury with the ankles that game. They should win that game. There's 2-0 there. Titans, I'll give them the loss there in Indianapolis. It wasn't a great game by the Colts there. Dolphins, they win. That's 3-1. Ravens, they should have won. Ravens come back with a great comeback victory led by Lamar Jackson. There's 4-1. Beat the Texans, that's 5-1. Beat the 49ers, 6-1. I think they win that game in Tennessee against the Titans. They're 7-1. They beat the Jets, it's 8-1. The Colts, they would have lost one game. I forgot which one it was, but they're 7-2 there. Beat the Jets, they're 8-2, whatever. I think that they're a 10-2 team because they beat the Buccaneers. That makes them 10-2.
Okay, I know you think, they should be, or they could be 10-2, but they're not. The Colts right now sit at 6-6, and the playoffs look like it could be a thing that won't happen for this Indianapolis team this year, but who knows? They have games left, 5 of them to be exact. Next week, they play the Houston Texans. You can mark that in the win column. Houston's terrible.
I would hope so.
I will. I mean, they did beat Tennessee, who swept the Colts.
I mean, Tennessee's also lost to the Jets.
Right. But I think it's a little bit of a hot take here. I think the Colts have to beat the Jaguars. They will be the Jaguars. I think they have to beat the Cardinals. The Christmas Day game. I think we're going to have to see a big win in Arizona for the Colts to have playoff hopes.
Well, let's just take through it, okay? The Colts now 6-6. Let's say you go up and you beat Houston in Houston. I mean, that's an obvious one. You're now 7-6. You take a bye. You get healthy. You get to go to Forrest Buckner. Probably not going to be 100% this week. You probably give a minimal snap, so I think that game will be over at halftime. I think Jonathan Taylor will have a big day against that Houston Texans defense that a bird could probably be. You get a bye, you get healthy. Then you have to have the New England Patriots coming in town, probably the hottest team in the National Football League right now. A Saturday night game, something that doesn't happen too often. You got put in the flex for a reason. So the game is it's really going to come down to this. If the Colts lose to the Patriots, they have to win it. I'm just saying they have 5 games left. They have to go 4-1 in their next 5 to make the playoffs. They can go 3-2 and still make it. Because if you go 3-2, you're going to be 9-8.
But you have to rely on a lot of other teams to do things.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're 6-6, you're going to have to rely on other teams anyway.
I mean, we talked about it a couple shows ago that the Colts, they needed to go, 5-1? Or no, they needed to go 5-2 because that was after the Jaguars game. They said that they needed to beat the Bills, which they did. We said that they could beat the Buccaneers, but we didn't think they would, and they didn't.
I said that I thought they were going to lose to the Bills, and the Buccaneers then went out.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I even marked them up for a loss versus Arizona. And I still think they can make the playoffs. But the ultimate thing is you look at the AFC. New England's the top of the patch right now, 8-4. They beat Tennessee. Tennessee is now 8-4 as well. Those are your top two teams, okay? And then you're probably going to go down and you're going to say Baltimore. 8-3, that's the worst 8-3 team in the league.
they win somehow, though.
Yeah,
hey, good teams win ugly.
Ugly wins better than a pretty-looking loss.
Right.
Good teams blow out bad teams. The Browns are not a good team, especially with a banged-up Baker Mayfield. That's how it is.
And just in their Sunday night game versus Baltimore, their right tackle, who they'd been missing for 5-6 weeks, like first or second drive back and so long, tears something in his arm. He's out for the season.
Reminds me of a certain running back we will not get into right now in one of the eastern states right now.
Who are you talking about?
Oh,
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit. But now back to the AFC. Okay, you got your top three teams. You have the Patriots, Titans, Ravens. And then in the AFC West, as of right now, the Kansas City Chiefs have won four straight. They're hot. They're now on top of that. That's your four. Okay, that's your division winners as it looks. Okay. Now you have your wild cards. As of right now, the Bills and the Bengals, 7-4, are locks.
The Bengals coming in hot.
Yeah. When they've won two straight. They're decent.
I think that Joe Burrow's really showed that he is the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy.
Oh, he's...
It was just the injury last year. Everybody thought that he was going to be injury-prone. They moved...
He recovered really well.
Burrow's the guy.
Recovered, and then they added some pieces, changed pieces of the offensive line.
They've done a great job.
And now he's doing really well.
But, so you got two playoff spots. As of right now, as it looks, like locks. So then you have your six. So the really ultimate fight right now is for seven. And... you got teams fighting for it, okay? The Steelers, 5-5-1, that team is not good. That team's not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, they tied the Lions.
Ben Roethlisberger, it's time to go. I'm sorry, buddy. You're a legend.
It was time to go. I mean, I love the quarterback. I love the guy. It was time to go 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. That loss, especially last year against Cleveland, he should have been done.
Cleveland. It's time to go. Cleveland, you're done.
Hey, they're 500.
Yeah, they're 500. They're 6-6.
But they're looking bad.
That team is so banged up, and I'm not my guy who actually supports Baker Mayfield. I think he's a decent quarterback. I really do. He's shown signs to be a guy, but he's really hurt right now. Yeah. He's at a point where he cannot even play. I don't even think he's out there playing 70%.
Isn't he playing with a separated left shoulder?
Torn labrum.
Torn labrum.
So it's not his throwing shoulder, yeah. but that's still.
Because if you're getting hurt, or if you're getting hit, like even a little bit, it's still going to hurt.
And then
a ton.
He also has heel problems.
He's really banged up right now.
Yeah.
And the Browns' whole entire team is banged up. Kareem Hunt,
he was back, but he played probably three snaps Sunday night.
He had six rushes, 30 yards. Nick Chubb's been banged up too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the receiving core is iffy.
Yeah, they had a receiver out Sunday night, one of their starting receivers.
The defense showed signs.
I mean, they held the Ravens to 13.
Yeah, but I mean, whenever Lamar's throwing just passes like that, I mean, any team could dominate them.
Yeah, I mean, the bad part is your defense gets four interceptions.
And you lose.
And your offense only scores 10 points.
Yeah, I think the Browns are done. I'm a person who thinks the Browns are going to be good in the future. I do. They have a really great team. I mean, once they get fully healthy, if they really figure it out, I think they'll be fine. They need to stop spending money in free agency. I think that's really hurting them to an extent. I don't know why you go out there and sign all these tight ends, but you don't play them. Austin Hooper is a guy who they play big money and has not played. You had Njoku. I don't know why you kind of go away from him. He's a good player. He's fast.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like the difference in the AFC. I mean, there's multiple 6-6 teams, but like the Browns and Colts. I mean, the Colts are playing well, and the Browns aren't. They're both 500.
Let me finish.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I have a...
No.
Real quick. I have a point to make.
I'm just saying the Colts have playoff race is so close.
Can I just say something real quick? The Colts have the most points scored in the AFC right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a 500 team.
That means they're giving up points.
They've given up 283, which is tied with the Jaguars.
Listen, I'm trying to have a speech here,
okay,
and y'all keep
Please
on interrupting
continue, Jackson.
Me. You got the Raiders, 6-5. They beat the Cowboys. Derek Carr lining up like a receiver. Man, they're decent. Are they a playoff team? You got the Broncos, 6-5. They beat the Cowboys, and they beat the Chargers last week. I don't know. I still don't think Teddy Two Gloves is any good. I don't think the Broncos have a chance. So it really is going to go down to it. As you have the Chargers and the Colts fighting for that seven. As of right now. And I mean, the Browns could maybe do it. I could see the Browns being in there. I could see the Raiders being in there. The Dolphins won four straight. How about them Dolphins?
I mean, they're 5-7, but if they're playing hot at the right time.
They're not good, though. Get some pressure on Tua Tagovailoa and make him throw deep. Well, he's not going to do that.
And you can't. You got to keep him protected too, because we saw what happened with Jacoby Brissett, his quarterback.
Mr. Biscuit.
I kind of miss him. He's a good move the pile guy.
Yeah, but
that's
when
what
you
he
knew
is.
You knew what he was doing every time he came.
I mean,
I
it
would
worked.
Get so
it
sad.
Worked.
It'd be fourth down and one, and you see him running on the field. You know what's about to happen. The one time he rolled out and threw, he overthrew T.Y. Hilton by about 30 yards.
It worked, though. He would move the pile.
A couple times, but you knew what was coming.
And then you'd come in when the Colts would score a touchdown. He'd come in from the sideline and celebrate.
Okay, that well, I bet he's having fun down there in Miami.
Hype man.
Yeah, now he's in a good city, like a warm
yeah,
city.
Let's pay him $10 million to be hype man. Like, I don't want to do that. But so are you the Colts. You're 6-6, and you have some tough matchups. I mean, you have the Texans. Texans, that's the one. Okay, yeah, the Patriots and Cardinals back-to-back weeks. And Cardinals on Christmas. I mean, you got to win one of those. You do. I think the Colts can beat the Patriots. The Colts pass rush has looked better of recent memory. And in all reality, Tom Brady did not. I mean, he looked flustered in that game. I don't know. I mean, the second half, things kind of cleared up because that's what the Colts do. They're bend, don't break, and they like to break in the second half. But, I mean, Tom Brady was throwing interceptions. Darius Leonard was punching out fumbles, I should say. And, I mean, they were looking good, but they lost. And that's because turnovers. Nyheim Hines drops a punt. Fair catch. No one's going to touch you out your hands. If let's say the Colts don't fumble that and Tampa doesn't go to score, they win.
Tampa, there was also another play that I remember watching. I forgot what quarter it was in, but I remember Tom Brady, like, he just heaved one deep, and Rock Yassin dives for the ball. It's a great defensive play.
Well, they called a PI.
But there was a ref in front of him, a ref behind him. Neither of them threw the flag. The ref from that was behind, that's like lined up behind the linebacker, threw the flag. The I think it's either back judge or umpire.
Umpire.
Was it? But you had like the line judge. You had the other ref over here, and you have the umpire.
Oh yeah, I mean, there were some calls. Definitely,
that's
late
a
game.
Terrible
an underthrown ball.
I can't remember. It was
Scotty Miller on the sideline.
Yeah, it was underthrown. Rock Yassin dives for it, and then the umpire, who's 30 yards away, calls the flag.
Oh, underthrown balls, like that's been a big thing the last couple weeks. I feel like in the NFL, is it just gives such an advantage to the offense. Because unless the cornerback is turning around to face the ball.
I mean, that's what Carson Wentz loves to do.
It's almost an automatic pass interference because the offensive player is coming back to get the ball and makes contact with the defense,
right.
So it's flagged.
But one thing in this game that happened was Michael Pittman Jr. dropped the ball. I mean, he did make a couple plays. I'll give it to him. But he dropped the ball. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr., there was a couple times where he just didn't look ready. And I don't know what's going on with Michael Pittman Jr., but you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because it's time to go. You got to go up to Houston and beat them. Beat them down early.
They need to win by, I think they need to assert their dominance and win by 25 or more.
Hey, we need to have a good Hard Knocks in 2 weeks because this one Wednesday is going to be rough, okay? So, I don't know. The Colts played a perfect first half, I'll be completely honest. It's fourth down, about to go in halftime. You go for it, you score. I mean, there's just not that many teams are going to do that. You know Frank Reich loves to go for any type of situation like that. But I'm just saying there's situations where the Colts should have won that game, and in all reality, I mean, the refs did help the Buccaneers at times. I almost called on the Patriots because I'm so used to saying that with Brady. But I don't know. I mean, Buccaneers win.
Going back to that one stat that I was talking about with the Colts being 340 points scored, leading the AFC, they're 7 points behind a team with 347. You know who that team is?
Who?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They scored 347 points. The Colts have scored 340.
Oh, yeah, the Colts can score it. There's no problem with their offense. I mean, lots of people like to say, another thing I didn't touch on with this, a lot of people like to say that the Colts didn't, they went away from the run. And, yeah, they did. But Tampa Bay had 8 in the box, just like the Browns. I mean, you were fully capable of throwing the ball. It's just a little bit of the play calling was confusing. I think the Colts need to really utilize the play action more. I think with a guy like Jonathan Taylor, you could sell it really good. I don't know. I would like to see a little bit more play action. I don't know. That deep ball to Austin Doolin, that was one of the prettiest passes I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a tight spiral. Like, he just...
Pretty.
Right in the basket.
I mean, Carson Wentz...
Bread basket.
Carson Wentz is a guy...
I mean, he showed the cannon before.
I mean, he's the future, I'll be honest. I'm a guy who's kind of doubted him, but I think he is the future of the Colts. Do you not agree?
I don't think that he's the future. I mean, we've seen promising years in the past, but I just don't. I think that he's not super old. He's not like, but at the same time, I think that he's just not.
So you don't think he should be the starter next year?
No. I think he should be. I think he should be the starter for the next couple of years. I thought you meant like next.
He's the franchise quarterback. I'm saying that.
Yeah, I think you meant like for years to come. That's what I thought you meant. Yeah. He will be the quarterback next year.
Do you think he'll be the quarterback in 5 years?
Debatable.
I mean, that's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Let's say if he gets hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
But the way he is playing this year is a quarterback,
He had a terrible year last year.
It doesn't matter. The Eagles were terrible last year.
I know, but he could come out next year and have a terrible
Carson
year again.
Carson Wentz is playing good this year. He is not the problem.
I know.
He's far beyond the problem. He's nowhere near it.
What's the problem then?
The problem is Frank Reich.
The problem is the defense.
So
the problem is probably they're scoring so many points
and they're allowing,
and they're only 6-16.
I don't care if you score 40 points a game, but if you give up 41, you're going to lose.
They don't. I mean, their defense is good. They're just bend don't break, and that's the problem. Right. What the Colts need to work on in the offseason, I think they will make the playoffs as a 7th seed. I don't see them winning any games in the playoffs. Maybe one. I don't see them winning a Super Bowl. But what they need to work on in the offseason is going to have to be left tackle. Eric Fisher, if he's back next year, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Bring back Costanzo out of retirement.
No, he looks happy. He looks happy. I think Costanzo's.
I saw him at the Jets game, and he did look happy.
But, no, I mean, there's a couple guys. There was a guy who was filled in for Braden Smith I thought played pretty good.
You see Glowinski knocked out Vita Vea's tooth?
Yeah, that's funny. But you got to work out on your left tackle. I think that's a key. I think you still need that number two receiver. I think you need a guy next to Pittman who can kind of fill that old T.Y. Hilton void. I don't think T.Y. Hilton will be back next year. I'll be completely honest with you.
I think it's time to retire for him.
I mean, it's either retire or go somewhere else and get hurt. I mean, I'm a guy who has a T.Y. Hilton jersey. I like T.Y. Hilton. He's probably he's one of my top five favorite Colts ever. But his time here is over. I mean, he's just too injury prone. And his career is winding down to an end. And that's the ultimate thing with these fast receivers. They don't play into their 30s. Rarely. Like Ted Ginn Jr. really was the only guy that I've seen play into his late 30s who was like a straight speedster. And Jackson, now for the Raiders. DeSean Jackson.
So you were talking about Bo Jackson. I was like, what?
Yeah, Bo Jackson. Because he's playing.
No, because you're talking about speedsters and Raiders.
Jackson had a really good game against Dallas. He caught that deep touchdown. But, I mean, speed receivers don't play into their 30s, like at all. Like, I'm worried for Tyreek Hill in these upcoming years. One injury could literally, he could be done.
Yeah, because these speedsters are only like 5'10", 5'9", like a buck 40.
In Reggie Wayne's final couple years, okay, he was not fast at all.
He could run routes, though.
He was a great route runner. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's a good route runner, too, but he was elite because he was fast.
Someone like you said, Tyreek Hill, though, not a great route runner.
I mean, he's a guy I'm scared to see. Let's see if he plays when he's 33.
So, like, if he loses his speed, I mean,
he's done.
He loses a lot.
So what do you think is going to happen with the – I know this is going away from receivers, but what do you think the kicking race is going on right now in Indy?
I think Bagley's going to continue with the job. I mean, Bagley hasn't missed.
You think Blankenship's going to get cut?
I'm a guy who likes Blankenship. I think he's funny, but yes.
He doesn't. He misses from long. Badgley has a leg.
Badgley hasn't missed.
But I think that he.
I'm a guy who really
Badgley
likes
fits
that
the role. He fits the role of the Colts. They don't kick as much as other teams do.
That's why Hot Rod worked last year.
Right. But Hot Rod, I think that he'll work on his leg, and I think he'll be a good kicker on another team. It sucks that he's leaving Indianapolis, but, like, No. I like Badgley as a kicker. Like you said, Hot Rod. I like Hot Rod. Hot Rod's a good guy. He seems cool. But I think I wanted to see him succeed. I think he'll go to another team and succeed somewhere else.
We don't know if he's going to another team. Hot Rod's under a rookie deal. I mean, that's the ultimate dream. You want a kicker who's good under a rookie deal, and he's good. But Bagley has not done anything to lose his job.
Right. I mean, like you said, he hasn't missed yet. I mean,
if Bagley starts missing,
he hasn't kicked anything from 40 plus. Or
turnover rates for kickers in the NFL is heavy. Like, if they play kick bad for a couple games, I mean,
that's the thing
out.
With Adam Vinatieri. He just kicked really well forever.
Until his last year, and he lost us like 3 games. Had a chance to beat the Steelers, and doink.
That's when, that's when you know you got to be out.
Yeah. Do you know his son is like the top ranked punter / kicker in Indiana?
Yeah.
He goes to Zionsville.
Yeah.
I think he's like top 10 in the nation as well.
You should check up on that. But going back to what I was talking about, what the Colts need to work on in this offseason, is the ultimate thing is their defense needs to improve. I think they need to get another pass rusher. I really think they missed the presence of Justin Houston, even though he was on a decline. I think Justin Houston coming off the edge, even bringing that veteran leadership, would have been amazing to these rookies. I think it really would have helped them. I think it really would have helped the rookies. I think their cornerback position needs help. And in all reality, I think their safety position needs help. I know they have Blackman, who's a star, a young star. But so I was just really thinking they need another safety. They need to have three. I think a safety is going to be one of their top priorities. As you know, this Colts team always is in the market for a safety.
Yeah.
And I was thinking earlier in the year, like, why? You have Willis and you have Blackman. But you need three safeties because you need a rotation. And it just the Colts don't have that. And their defense is what they're going to have to key on because their offense has looked good. Jonathan Taylor's the guy in the backfield. You have a good number one in Pittman. You have a quarterback in Carson Wentz. Jack Doyle shows he can still play football. Mo Ali Cox was playing good, and then they just went away from him. Gregson, the rookie, he's had moments. I mean, they have a receiver they have not used since week 3 in Michael Straighten. And Straughton, however you say his name. I haven't learned it yet because he's not played too much. But he is a really good player. He's fast. He's 6'3". I mean, he's a guy who can go up and get it. He's a guy I could see getting minutes. He kind of got a red shirt this year. 7th rounder, I think he's going to do something. I mean, they have talent on offense. It just depends. It depends on the defense, and they have to improve as a team. I don't think this team's done, but they have talent. Darius Leonard, I don't think he's 100%. Well, we know he's not 100%, but I don't even think he's 80%. Just imagine if he gets fully healthy. Quentin Nelson's a guy who's not healthy this year. I mean, this year was really a growing year, and you cannot win a championship with a quarterback under his first year. Next year is going to be the year for the Colts. I think they're going to be way better, but I think they still have a chance this year to at least make the playoffs, but we will have to see. But now going back to week 12, there was some good games. Like I said last Monday night, the football team got a win over the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks only 3 wins on the year. Not looking good. Ravens beat the Browns 16-10. We talked about that for a minute. Packers beat the Rams, and the real question is, are the Rams contenders? Are they fakers? And is Matthew Stafford, I know he's better than Jared Goff, but is Matthew Stafford overrated?
I mean, his play has been, he came to the Rams and, I mean, just lit it up first however long of the season. But as of late, I mean, his plays kind of started to go down a little bit. It just hasn't been the same guy he was at the beginning of the season.
I mean, in all reality, we don't know how good he is. Because he's always been on the Lions. And the Lions have never been good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But let's say Matthew Stafford just continues on the trajectory that he's on. I don't know. I mean, Jared Goff hasn't won a game without Sean McVay. But is it really worth all the stuff they gave up? I don't know. I mean, I like Stafford as a quarterback, but I think Carson Wentz is better than him. I mean, lately,
yeah. I mean, Stafford's a talented guy, and like you said, I mean, when he was on the Lions, I mean, he never had pieces. He can never really...
I mean, it's the Lions.
Yeah, he can never really play to his full potential, but I mean, we saw him play really good when he got put on a team that had pieces for him.
But now they're struggling. I mean, they go out and trade for Von Miller. They haven't won since. I don't know. But I'm a guy. I'm going to just touch on Wentz for a second here. I'm a guy who did not like whenever we traded for Wentz. I was extremely sad. I knew it was going to happen. In all reality, I wanted Rivers to come back. I was on that train, but I'm happy I wasn't, because Carson Wentz has really proved me wrong. He's a top 10, 15 quarterback in the league, and I think he has potential to be a top 10, and I think he might be there. I mean, he showed me a lot this year. I've really gained a lot of respect for the number two in the blue and white. But other games around the league, Niners pick up a win 34-26 over the Vikings. The Vikings go and beat the Packers, but lose to the Niners. The Niners now back in playoff trajectory. Broncos beat the Chargers 28-13. Broncos now picking up another big win. Teddy Two Gloves doing it again. The Jets beat the Texans 21-14 in the worst game you're ever going to see. Falcons beat the Jaguars 21-14, another worst game. But hey, shout out to the Falcons, I guess. Now the Patriots beat the Titans in blowout fashion 36-13. Big win for the Patriots. They're hot, four straight. Giants beat the Eagles. That was a terrible game, 13-7. Dolphins beat the Panthers 33-10. Cam Newton is not back. He's bad.
No.
He had a 5 passer rating. That's funny. Cam Newton, 2 interceptions. He had a rushing touchdown. He screamed at the fans.
He threw a ball right to the defense.
And then he decided to play catch with the defense. Bengals, big win over the Steelers, 41-10. The Bengals, are they the real deal? And is Ben Roethlisberger done? That's the ultimate question. Bills over the Saints on Thursday night, 31-6. The Bills getting back on track after a tough loss versus the Colts. Raiders beat the Cowboys in really a game that no one expected, 36-33. The Cowboys on a little bit of a losing streak of late, and then the Bears beat the Lions in possibly the worst game I've ever seen on Thursday night football for Thanksgiving. That game was terrible. Shout out to Matt Nagy. He did not get fired after this game. But now we're going to look forward to Week 13. Colts versus Texans, I think that's going to be a blowout. Other big games this Thursday, Cowboys versus Saints. And if the Cowboys lose this one, I mean, that could really be something to watch for, as the Cowboys are a team that everyone's like, oh, they're the favorite Super Bowl contenders. They've now lost a couple in a row. Another game you could watch out for, the Dolphins versus the Giants. I know that's a game that no one really would expect for, but the Dolphins could win this one and go to 6-7 and really be back in the playoff chase. Now, the Bengals and the Chargers, two teams fighting for a wild card spot in their divisions, in their AFC. And that's another game to watch out for. Let's say the Bengals get this one. The Chargers now fall under 500, and now the Colts would overtake them with a win versus Houston. The Ravens versus the Steelers. Let's say the Steelers get a win here. They could be back in the playoff chase, and the Ravens, if they do win, go to 9-3. They're playoff locks. 49ers versus Seahawks. The Niners must win for them if they want to make the playoffs. Seattle, your season is over. You're now 3-7. Pack it up. Sorry, 3-8. Pete Carroll. 3-8, yeah. Excuse me. And then Broncos, Chiefs, another division game. The Broncos have won a couple in a row. Chiefs have won 4. They've looked good since their start of the season struggles. That's another one to watch out for Sunday night. And then Monday, Patriots versus Bills. And this is really going to be the game. Whoever wins this might win the division. So that AFC East battle there Monday night, December 6th. Watch out, Patriots versus Bills. But that's going to wrap up our football segment. Lots of good NFL games coming your way. We're going to come back talking Indiana Pacers. That team is disappointing. They lost 198 versus the Timberwolves. Domantas Sabonis, 25 rebounds. Not enough. Pacers lose. We'll be right back. Sports Spotlight.
Imagine a lady who wouldn't give up her seat on the bus, a TV host who wanted to be your neighbor, or an inventor whose 10,000 failures didn't stop him. These vivid images all share the same caption: inspiration. These people just did their best, and they inspire us. Now, what will you do to inspire others? Inspiration is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Kevin Gleva and the Indiana Pacers. Another tough loss versus the Minnesota Timberwolves last night and this Pacers team. I could talk about them all day and how this team needs to blow it up. I mean, it's not working. They're now 9-14. Timberwolves, actually 11-10. Shout out to the Timberwolves. They're above 500, really, for the first time since Jimmy Butler. But the Pacers lose by two. Chris Duarte gets ejected. He had 14, though. He shot the ball about 14 times, too. Sabonis, 16, 25, and 10. Only guy ever in NBA history to do that. Hey, you shout out, you're in the record books. You lost to the Timberwolves. They're decent. Anthony Edwards is the real deal. Karl Anthony Towns had a good game. They're healthy now. D'Angelo Russell, 21. But the real thing is, you lost by two to the Timberwolves. You're now 9-14. You're five games behind 500. Okay, Miles Turner did not play in this game. T.J. Warren's still injured. But, Kevin, do you ever think this team, fully healthy, even has a chance in the Eastern Conference? Let's say T.J. Warren goes back to 18 points per game. Not bubble T.J. Warren, but 18 points per game. An average player, he's going to get you 18 to 20 every night. Add in Miles Turner back in there. Do you think this team could be a contender in the Eastern Conference, or do you think they should blow it up?
I don't really see them being much of a contender, really. I think a big part of it starts in with the big man, Sabonis and Turner. And when they played the Bucks, we saw them combine for like 5 points. And that was an 18-point loss. So they're not going to win games when two of their key players, starters, are only combining for 5 points. You get TJ Warren coming back, who's one of their kind of better offensive players, someone who you could count on to put some points up each night. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think they'd be able to contend in the East. The East is the best conference, or is a better conference than the West this year so far. They have more total wins on the year. So, they're playing tough teams. They're already five games back of 500, which I thought they'd be hanging around 500. But, there's still quite a bit of season left. Can Chris Duarte kind of step up maybe in the future and kind of be one of the leaders on the team? I don't know. Caris LeVert, another solid player, but
Caris LeVert's really just looked shaky lately. He's not playing to the level I thought he would play.
Yeah. He had 24 a couple games ago, but he hasn't really been super consistent with that. But if everyone was like playing and clicking together, then they might be able to make it a couple rounds in the playoffs. But
I don't know if you blow it up midseason.
No, I wouldn't.
Because you don't really know what they have yet. I would let them play out at least the rest of the year. And let's say they don't make the playoffs again this year, I think you might do it.
And they're figuring things out under a new coach, too.
Yeah, and that's just always the thing. But in all reality, I kind of want them to lose. Because if they lose, they get another high draft pick. They can get a good player.
They had a somewhat high draft pick. It was in the top half last year, and they got a solid rookie. So, but, we've also seen them take people like Goga Batase in the draft in the past before, and so they don't have the greatest draft history, but they just need to change up who they're looking for. Not some dominant big man, but someone who can score the ball.
Yeah, definitely not Goga Batase. Oh my. But man, they have some tough games coming up. They're going on a little bit of a home streak,
like six games I think,
and they play Atlanta, Miami, Washington, the Knicks, and the Mavericks, and then they play the Warriors, and then they go to travel to Milwaukee. So they have lots of games here coming up at home at What's the new place? What's it called?
Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Yeah, that's a new name. Oh, man, they're rebuilding in there. It's way different. I've been to two Pacer games now this year, and it's different.
It is. Least.
But I don't know. This Pacers team is always a little bit disappointing now. We just go look around the NBA. Pacers now 13th in the Eastern Conference. The top eight seeds are Brooklyn, the Bulls, Miami, the Washington Wizards, the Bucks, Hornets, Knicks, Sixers. All those teams above 500. Going out west, the Warriors above really anyone. Now 18-2, and the Phoenix Suns 17-3. The Suns have won 16 consecutive games. This, like, no one's talking about the Suns either. And they take on the Warriors tonight, so that's going to be an ultimate matchup for the number one seed in the Western Conference. And Klay Thompson's not even back yet for Golden State. Followed by the Jazz, Mavericks, Clippers at the 3, 4, and 5. Timberwolves, Lakers, and Grizzlies battling it out for the final three seeds. And then the Nuggets, 10-10. Portland, 10-11. Battling it out for the 8 seeds. So lots of good stuff going on in the NBA, but the Pacers, I mean, is it time to blow it up? That's the ultimate question. I think you're going to let them play out. Let's see what you got with TJ Warren. But we will ultimately have to see. But now joining the show, our soccer expert here for the Sports Spotlight. Welcome to the show, Kristen Hernandez. How's it going?
It's going well, Jackson. We have some news regarding soccer, as yesterday the Ballon d'Or happened, and that is the most prestigious award in soccer. So it was a very weird award considering in 2020 they canceled it, which is very unfortunate, but they're back and running, and I'll be giving out the top 10 current that were in the top 10 rather yesterday. Day as it was Donnarumma, who also won the best goalkeeper award. Mbappe finishes in ninth, followed by Kevin De Bruyne, Salah, and Ronaldo. Now the top five was between Conte, Benzema, Jorginho, Lewandowski, and Lionel Messi. And Lionel Messi ends up winning the Ballon d'Or, his seventh one, which further solidifies him being the one with the most rewards of that in history of the game, of the sport, you know. So there's a lot of controversy about that, whether Messi deserved it or not. As a lot of people said, Robert Lewandowski had a fantastic year, and some people thought he won more individual rewards than Messi, you know? Which is kind of understandable, but personally, I believe Messi should have won it, as he did win a lot this year. He was really influential in Argentina's Copa America run, which saw them win their first major international trophy since 1993. And on top of that, in the tournament, he got top scorer, top assister, and player of the tournament. He also became the player with the most South American goals in history there. So that's pretty record-breaking. He beat Pele's record, which multiple generations could not. And now we also go to, he became the player with the most goals for one team in the history game with Barcelona. So that's an incredible feat as well. And in Spain, he became the top scorer of La Liga once again, won the Copa del Rey, and led the struggling Barcelona team to third position in La Liga, which is kind of a hard thing to do. So with that, I do believe Messi had a better year than Robert Lewandowski, but I do think Robert Lewandowski did have a great season. He did end up breaking Gerd Müller's record of 40 Bundesliga goals, and he got way more than that. And I do believe he deserves second place, and he does deserve a Ballon d'Or for last year, but as you know, that got canceled, so that's quite unfortunate for him. And I think it's unfair for people to say Messi doesn't deserve it because he had an incredible year. And just to say Robert Lewandowski deserves it for having more goals is ridiculous, because that was the truth. Messi would have like 9 Ballon d'Ors right now, but it's whatever. But while we were gone during Thanksgiving, there was the Champions League matches going on as well, which we got to see a majority of the teams who qualified, which are Manchester City, PSG, Liverpool, Ajax, Sporting Lisbon, Real Madrid, Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, Manchester United, Chelsea, and Juventus. And there's still teams like Porto, Benfica, Barca, and AC Milan, and Atletico still fighting the final place in the knockout stage. And we'll be figuring it out next week as they do play once again. We'll see who ends up in the knockout rounds and who's out or goes to Europa League.
And you're listening to the Sports Spotlight here on WBEG.
All right, with that... Now, we have other notable results this weekend, as we got to see PSG end up being St. Etienne 3-1. My bad, WBDG. Do it, Jackson. Sorry.
You're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
We're having some struggles here.
Apologies.
I wanted Christian to say it, but Christian doesn't know how to read. So.
Well, Jackson forgot it in the first place.
I was trying to get him to say it, but... Just go ahead. You're fine. Back to Christian.
Anyway, other notable fixtures this weekend. PSG and St. Etienne played. PSG ends up winning 3-1. Manchester United and Chelsea squared off. That ended up in a 1-1 draw. Very interesting game, seeing Manchester United under their temporary coach. Manchester City won 2-1 against West Ham. Barcelona beats Villarreal 3-1 in Xavi's third game. Very impressive showing for this Barcelona side going under a new coach. Real Madrid barely beat Sevilla 2-1 after an absolute banger from Vinicius Junior, who's been having an incredible season, proving all his haters wrong that he could be really one of the next biggest young players in the sport. So good job to him. Dortmund beat Wolfsburg 3-1, and Erling Haaland's return, which was pretty funny, as Erling Haaland scored on his return, making it 50 goals in 50 Bundesliga matches, which is an incredible feat. And yeah, he celebrated by pointing at a Wolfsburg fan, and the Wolfsburg fan was not really happy about that. But yeah, now we have Napoli and Lazio who squared off over in Italy, and Napoli absolutely demolished Lazio, beating them 4-0. With that, those are some of the notable results of soccer that's happened this weekend. That's all I have, pretty much. Tune in for my next segment on Thursday, where I'll be talking about Juventus potentially getting relegated and other stuff going on in the soccer world.
So, yeah, thanks once again for Christian Hernandez joining the show here at the Sports Spotlight. But that's going to wrap it up for today. So lots of Colts information. And we'll be back next Thursday to wrap up. Not to wrap up, but to talk about everything that's going to be happening for NFL Week 13. And a little bit more going into college, as we didn't really touch on that today. So IU and Purdue basketball. There's some football head coaching news, too. I think we're going to college football we should talk about. There's some stuff we're going to hit on that as well. So make sure to tune in.
Conference championship weekend.
Yeah, conference championship weekend as well. The playoffs are here in college football, and the playoffs are around the corner in the NFL. So lots of stuff to talk about, football, basketball, college, and NBA, NFL, and soccer coverage as well. So make sure to tune in Thursday, I should say, at 1:15. But that's going to be it for Christian Hernandez, Owen Pooley, and Kevin Gleva. I've been Jackson Watt, your host. Thanks to you once again for joining the Sports Spotlight, and we'll see you next time.